Hold on to your butts. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is in the building. Still socially distant as fuck. Still with the fucking dope ass backgrounds, including mine, I'd like to say.
Yes.
And still with Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, and myself, Stephen Van Patten. And also, because she is a glutton for punishment, let's give it up for author Denise Tapscott.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's always good to see you. Always good to have you. So because Denise is here, it feels very appropriate to get into none other than a segment we like to call Horrible People We Need to Talk About Now That Trump Is Gone. All right. Larry Elder, also known as Piece of Shit. Try to run it, Gavin Newsom, who by no means is the perfect governor. Yeah. Yet, I can't imagine most sensible people voting for someone who thinks slave owners needed reparations.
Right.
Who thinks the shooting of Trayvon Martin was justified. And the sad thing about it, of course, is that we are talking about an African-American, or in Larry Elder's case, an African-American that was grown in a lab by white supremacists to act as a Judas cow.
In California.
So here's the thing. And Kirk, I'm sure, will be able to slap this particular plane of hope out of the sky as only the King Kong that he is can do. But the fact that 2 million people in California actually voted for this abortion of a human being, actually, mathematically speaking, gives me hope. Because mathematically speaking, that means that only that means that 2 million people who are completely fucked up live in California, and the rest of the country is where the other Trump people voted. So the fact that those people are in California, and again, mathematically speaking, then that means that the other assholes are someplace else.
We know where they are.
And just like how sensible New Yorkers tend to quiet the racist belches of Staten Island and Bay Ridge, you know, it's kind of nice to know that folks are, you know, that they exist, unfortunately, but they're also outnumbered. And yes, therefore, as long as folks stay diligent, they remain somewhat
on the fringes,
quieted, somewhat quieted. Yeah. Well, yeah. The problem with the fringe, of course, is that the Fringe
was a great TV series.
But they're also too loud. And because they're so loud, they constantly need addressing. There's the constant, you know, just the fact that, and I think, Kirk, you said this earlier today while we were in a private conversation, the fact that, you know, meaningful television can't be produced because the corporations that are behind producing television are in fact afraid. They're afraid to do a Good Times VD episode. They're afraid to do a What's Happening D Needs an Abortion episode. They're afraid to do
All in the right Family thing.
Yeah. They're afraid to do
Facts of Life.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All in the Family. Facts of Life.
Maud gets an abortion.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right. Yes. Right.
Came up oddly enough while Kirk and I just happened to be.
They love you, baby. They love you, baby. I love you, baby. I was gonna say, yeah, that's yeah, too
come on, slap the plane out of the sky, Kirk. That's what you do. Slap it, slap it.
I can't, I got nothing to slap. You was on point.
Man, really?
You was right. You, I mean, I dude. Yeah, I mean, 2 million. It's only 2 million people. I mean, how many? There's like, we have over. I can't even put the right numbers. I'll be honest. I ain't gonna give you the right numbers, but I know we have more than 2 million people. You know, because there's 6 million stories in the Naked City, and that's just New York. Right. So 2 million motherfuckers in California, and California is way bigger than New York. New York City, for that matter. You know what I mean? And they spread out. Yeah, that's just all that just means is that, you know, that's a lot of the beatdowns are going to have to happen in increments. Mm-hmm. maybe 10,000 a day on the beatdowns, because that's 2 million heads, man. And, you know,
yeah,
Fist can't just take that many heads right now.
And we know where they are. We definitely know.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yes, like, yes,
fuck
yes.
them.
You can kind of match them with the COVID numbers.
And right. that's right. Yeah. You can literally by if you do a zone by zone, as somebody did on the internet that never loses. yeah, you see that the voting for Larry Elder or mm-hmm. voting mm-hmm. for the recount rather, was basically across regions, is like who's blowing up the hospitals with the not getting the vaccines and the COVID and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
If they got them vaccinated and you know they was on board with the vaccines, Larry Elder could have won. Motherfuckers in the hospital, they can't go vote. I'm sorry. You know what? Yes, I'm gonna laugh at them tears. Oh, salty tears. Let me Oh, I feel like the Cartman.
I will say my favorite part about the entire thing was when Rachel Maddow pointed out that Newsom won, was it 61%? And this time he won 63%. I'm like, damn. How you gonna win more?
Right,
right,
right.
And on a recall,
on a recall election. that meant the dude down the street who forgot on voting day was like, oh shoot, I can do that today. I'm gonna take care of that right now. I mean, there's nothing to say to that. That's just. I mean that we have a real life Uncle Ruckus living in California.
Yeah.
That got attacked by homeless people.
I just never in my life was like, huh. So you think
exactly
reparations for the plantation, huh?
Right. Some of them actually did get reparations for slavery. Yeah, some of the slave masters did get.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's right.
And America, not just America either. You know, we already know about France and them fucking strong arming Haiti for that shit. Mm-hmm. So you imagine, you know, France is as dirty as fucking. They act like they clean.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking croissants.
Yeah. And France, you know what? France had our help.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
Yeah.
France had our help.
And is oh.
Don't tell us get our need? Help.
You know what we need? For a lot of these television journalists, these broadcasters, to really or just the media conglomerates in general, just to take away whatever memo they got going on to be nice to the pundits or whoever they invite on the shows, and just let them niggas have it. Excuse my language. You gotta let them niggas have
ding,
it.
Ding ding.
They got. I mean, I'm sorry. Once he said, you know, he thought that you know slave owners should probably be considered. Somebody should have said, you got your motherfucking mind. Even on Fox, they should have said that. Because he said it on Fox, and dude, I remember the person on Fox was like, I can't say nothing. I'm on Fox. It's like, I'm just saying, there should have at least been somebody in the crew like behind the camera going like this. Got your fucking mind? Yeah, you cotton picking mind with that bullshit.
No, you know who they needed? You know who they needed? Remember? Well, I can't remember this brother's name. Remember the time Kanye was on TMZ?
Yes.
And he made that comment about slavery wasn't real or something. And the brother in the back was like, come on, Kanye. Come on, Kanye. And came running from the back of the office. That's what you needed. You needed that guy.
Yes. Like, he's so like, right. He's so what? Right.
Like, oh, come on, man.
Come on, yeah. Man.
You needed Clyde from the mailroom to run on back and be like, hey, look, check this out.
Yeah. with hot coffee still in his hand.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Hot coffee still in his hand going like this. I just got in and you just said some bullshit. Fucking Larry Elder. I can't. Yeah, he's a radio host or something, a radio journalist. Yeah. What is he? Mm-hmm. He was a radio personality, whatever. Like
personality. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, somebody has to take over for I don't know.
What's his name? Who died from Corona? I'm visiting, going to a Trump rally.
Who, the pizza guy?
Nah, yeah, is that his name? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
right,
Mark? Yeah. The
Clarence, the, not Clarence. Thomas, no.
You went. I was gonna say Rush Limbaugh, but
it was a black dude. It was actually, a brother.
Actually, but, I want to.
Oh,
I wanna
right.
I want to give Kirk a little more. I want to give him a little bit of the little bit of my hope juice.
Uh oh.
So yesterday,
yes,
apparently. There were more police at the Trump rally than there were people there to defend the folks from January 6th.
Yes.
Something. Yes. This basically means we done got to the point where people are like, you know what? I got better things to do on a Saturday. Bobby Joe having a barbecue.
Right.
I got two choices. I go with you and stand out there behind a fence, or I go to Bobby Joe's barbecue. He's making ribs this weekend, so I'm going to Bobby Joe's.
Right.
You can go. I mean, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So I think we're cresting at this point where it's just people are just, you know, they still in their feelings about the you know, it's like Monday morning after watching Oz. You know, I'm still mad about who died last night.
Right. You still feel kind of nasty, you still feel kind of dirty.
I can't do anything about it.
You feel kind of dirty. After watching Ad BC like do some horrible shit to some Italian mobster's kid, you're like, yes, and then you're like, oh, that was so dirty.
I have to admit, I was deeply disturbed by that very scene that you up. Because didn't he hit him with like a can of peas or some shit?
Yes, he hit him and the big dude with a can of peas and then raped the kid.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And then put his Walkman on.
Yes.
Put his Walkman on.
Yeah.
Oh, he was violating the cat. It's like, and then of course he was never the same.
No.
He was never the same after that. He was just like completely like, you know, like a freaking rescue animal at that point.
Yep. And I'm not even gonna say that thing that we like to say, but I ain't gonna say it because that shit was wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that was wrong.
That was wrong. Denise, yeah. As a yes. California resident,
yes.
And since we've been tossing this around, I have to ask you, like, what's the general vibe out there these days now that Mr. Elder has been properly spanked and sent home or sent to bed without his you know, cornflakes?
I think a lot of people are like, wow, the recall was just a waste of money. We never should have had to go through it in the first place. Mm-hmm. We were going to keep Gavin, regardless if you like him or not like him, just keep him in place.
Right.
The whole Larry Elder thing's great. You wasted our time, money, and energy. It's going to be a big oh no. You couldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
We have enough personalities as it is. We don't need nothing to try to run this entire state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And looking at that ballot with all the different people on there, there was one, her name is Angeline. If you've ever been to Los Angeles, like in the 90s and the early 2000s, she had these big, huge billboards, like this blonde lady with the big boobs and like the pink Corvette. So everybody knew who Angeline was. Well, now she's like in her 70s. Why are you trying to run for governor? The whole thing was like a joke.
Right.
Yeah, it was like a waste. Well,
totally. Wasn't Bruce Jenner also on there too?
Yeah, but his name is something else now. Her name is...
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, she was on there. She wasn't going to win either. There were no real viable candidates.
Look, she wasn't going to win because Amanda Seales properly like schooled her in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to, I don't know where else to find it outside of just scouring through Amanda Seales' Instagram page. Mm-hmm. But properly. And I give Amanda Seales all the credit because she properly.
Amanda Seales ain't no joke.
Slapped her with a brick that basically had white privilege written on it, mm-hmm. and just verbally checked her in a way and left her stunned in the same way that we were stunned when we found out, you know, Bruce Jenner has now been driven crazy enough by the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. That he, you know, wants this. Yeah. No disrespect to, you know,
transgender.
Oh, yeah, no disrespect to that.
Anything else like that.
Right. But
that was just such a, and it's not even so much that it's left field, but it's also that, so you do this, but you still want to maintain full white privilege. Going back to what something Dave Chappelle said.
Yep.
You know, the only reason some people are okay with this, it's because white dudes want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know what? Black and Latino were doing it for so long.
Long time, yeah.
For a long time, like, you know, family members know of them who did that shit. So it's kind of like, and they were getting
ostracized.
Oh, yeah.
Murdered.
And, you know,
right.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Beat up. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, shit, Stonewall riots.
Yeah,
right.
So,
you know,
but that, I mean, but Caitlyn Jenner.
So it's a white privilege.
Yeah,
you know what? And still wants to vote for Republicans.
Right. Yeah. And I'll be honest, what really kind of caught me off guard, and I know Caitlyn Jenner when she was Bruce Jenner.
Right. On the Wheaties box, right?
On the Wheaties box. And you kind of always kind of had that image that it's Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
He's all, not just all American. He's for all Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He was our Chris Evans before Chris Evans.
Yeah,
gold medals and all. Yeah,
gold medal. And you figured, oh, he's down for the cause, you know, for, you know, free civil rights, mm-hmm. the whole shebang. And mm-hmm. and then to have him come his face out like this, you're like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She got mad because all his stepdaughters are dating black men. So
maybe she's jealous. She wants one too.
I wouldn't. You know.
But I, you know, again, there's the whole
digging that hole, man.
There's the whole hypocrisy of it because mm-hmm. it's like, so he was all American, Olympic medal winner, blah blah blah, and mm-hmm. he goes transgender. Simone Biles can't even take a couple of days off.
Right.
And vilified. I mean, vilified like she shot somebody. Vilified.
Yeah.
You know, utter nonsense. Utter and complete nonsense.
Yeah.
But that's what we're looking at every day. Right? Mm-hmm. The double standard.
Just yeah.
Slap with it. Double standard.
Yeah.
Here's a double standard. You. Here's a double standard for you. Here's a fresh double standard for you. And it just goes on and on. And
yeah. Even Serena Williams, same thing.
Yes. And Naomi
Osaka.
Osaka. Yeah. Same thing. They can't take a break at all. Nothing.
Can't take a break. Can't
How
do nothing.
Dare you? Yeah.
But this one, you know,
mm-hmm.
can do whatever. Still vote Republican. And mm-hmm. and that's the other thing. It's like, you know, you would think, okay, so I've done this. So now I need to be the champion to poor, to Kirk's point, I need to be the champion to the inner city kids that mm-hmm. are going through these issues, don't even necessarily have the money to deal with that problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they go through whatever that is, whatever that feels like, to be trapped in a body that, you know, you don't really want, or, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
You know, and then still be up there trying to tell Amanda Seals how she's supposed to feel about her oppression. It's like, oh, shit. You
know? Yeah.
And it's so funny because Caitlyn Jenner was not the second person we were going to discuss in Horrible People.
Right.
Right. We've now expanded the Horrible People net to include Caitlyn Jenner. And rightfully so. She, mm-hmm. respectfully, she totally belongs there. But actually, what we were going to do, the person I wanted to also throw off, make walk off the plank in that respect, mm-hmm. is our first rapper, and our first black lady, and our first black lady, because, you know, we actually never got around to doing Candace Owens or anybody like that. Mm-hmm. I need to talk seriously about Nicki Minaj, which no one has ever said before. And you know what I find is
look at Mark
is right. is very skillful of everybody else who's had to directly address this is the fact that from Jen Psaki, who normally brings nothing but smoke, like who normally brings nothing but white people smoke, and Sanjay Gupta, everybody outside of the prime minister of Trinidad. He kind of went in, but I figure, you know, he's prime minister of Trinidad. He's like, right. put me in a rap song. I don't care, you know. Right. That's where he is in his life. Yeah. Everybody else is kind of like, so look, and they're very measured. They're all very measured. They're all like, look, I ain't trying to get in. No, I have way too many other things to do besides getting in a beef with a crazy rapper. However, COVID's real. The vaccine's real. We're happy to talk to her about it. Like, this is the White House's response to this whole thing. And it's fascinating to watch because it's like, whoa, what the, you know, gone are the days where Al Gore and Chuck D can get into a beef about whether or not there should be a freaking R on a sticker. I mean, an R-rated sticker on a CD jewel case. We are in some Twilight Zone shit, but everybody's handling it real skillfully. Sanjay Gupta, I wish we were at the point where I could play the clip, because basically and let's back up. Of course, I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody listening. So what Nicki Minaj actually did was she tweeted something about her cousin who supposedly experienced a swelling of the testicles after receiving the COVID vaccine.
But it was like the cousin's friend. It wasn't even like cousin's.
Right.
Cousin.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. Right. My cousin's friend. My cousin's friend experienced testicular swelling. And say it like that. I'm right. saying it like that.
Thank you.
Because I'm trying to keep it classy, San Diego. But testicular swelling.
Yeah.
And they're blaming this, and they're blaming this on the COVID vaccine, and her fans not being, you know, and not being aware of the fact that you really should not look to rappers
right
for medical information
right
unless you're just trying to rhyme something with the word testicular. You know, which I guess would be spectacular, I don't, depending on the song, I guess you're trying to write.
Right.
But
my balls are so big. My balls are so big. Balls are so big. Got the vaccine. My balls are so big. Yeah, Mark.
Yes, Mark.
You're losing them.
Mark, this is happening. This, by the way, this is happening. But anyway, so and I find
I'm chomping at the bit here.
I find it ironic that this is the same person that once wrote a song about somebody else named Stupid Ho. I just find it ironic. I just find it ironic. You tweeted this, and the Prime Minister in Trinidad, he said it best. He was like, "So the sad thing about it is the waste of time. The amount of time we had to spend trying to track down this giant balls person to even verify this." To get into this, and Sanjay Gupta, he handled it the most diplomatically. He was like, "So I think what's troubling about this," and again, I'm paraphrasing, "what's troubling about this is just that I think people end up with these conditions," and he named, and I want to say it was ocular, I forget exactly what it was, but he named the actual medical condition because, oh shit, he's a fucking doctor. Right. So he names the medical condition. He says, "What I think is happening is that people, you know, still get ailments and things like that. But, you know, if you have it, you know, in the same amount of time that you get the vaccine, then obviously you might in some sort of," and he wanted to say in some dipshit way. You could see it in his face. He wanted to say, "You know, you fucking assholes. Like, what are you talking about?" It's like, but he was like, "Hey, you know," and then people have these things, and then they think it's caused by the vaccine, and it's not caused by the vaccine, and it probably isn't caused by the vaccine. And
testicular magnification.
No, it's not that. It's not. He didn't say that. I mean, obviously, that's what happened to this person, I guess. Having not seen.
Mark is drinking his tea.
I've not seen the balls themselves. Oh, no. I can't really speak on it, but the balls. Joey, how are your balls? You know, I don't know, man. I'm just but yeah, Nicki Minaj definitely a horrible person.
We have to address why this came into conversation.
Mm-hmm. Now, speak on it.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't this due to, I might be wrong. Wasn't it that she wasn't allowed at the gala at the Met or something because she wasn't vaccinated?
Yes.
Yep.
So here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kicked out of parties because nobody knows who I am.
Oof. All right.
I've shown up and people been like, "Who are you?
Who's kicking you out of a party, Mark?" No, I've had it happen. Come on.
Right.
I came and people are like, "And you're with who?" "Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I. That's my boy, but I don't know you. I can't let you in."
Right.
All right. Not a problem. I got you. It's your house.
Mm-hmm.
Take the L and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nobody asked for your opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, if so, my thing is this: you're not coming because you're not vaccinated. You know, shut up.
Yeah. Right.
Go home. Go. You know what? Do a Kanye. Throw a pop up party down the street.
Right. Throw an after party.
You know, throw somewhere if you're not happy that you weren't invited.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the reason why you're not taking the vaccine. And we doggone sure, I'm pretty sure homeboy, wherever he is, ain't too happy about the fact that the prime minister from Trinidad and probably a force of trucks pulled up in front of his house It was like, yeah, we're gonna need you to turn around and bend over and cough so that Ooh. We can see something. I'm sure he's not happy about
he can't,
that.
Can he bend over?
Pull your pants down and let me see your balls.
He just has to stretch a little bit.
See them nuts, them, sir. Yeah, yeah, no, that, and them big, you know, them big balls, them. You know, small little chestnuts you have in them, they say, in them pants.
Chestnuts, man.
What are you talking about? You take the vaccine? You say you're vaccinated and your balls don't swell up?
No. I mean, we've been vaccinated since January, almost February. If ain't nobody in all the continents across this globe, you the only cat.
Oh my God.
You the only one.
With swelling balls. Testicular magnification.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Like, my man, we need to have a conversation about what you did right mm-hmm. after you left the clinic.
Yes. But, yeah.
But wait, yeah. We even have a bigger problem here.
Uh-oh.
The number one rule of black people, you don't put my business out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted people to know this,
yeah,
I let them know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you don't put your cousin's friend
on blast.
Because you couldn't get into the Met Gala.
Because of something he probably don't even know going on.
Right. Yeah. You probably don't even care.
I was about to cape for her, but when you put it like that, that's violation of the number one rule. You out of pocket, Nikki. You can't be calling out your cousin's friend like that because you couldn't get to a party. That's some bullshit. You done violated. I mean, you know what? And I can be cool with everything else. And she a rapper and she had an opinion. And she said that shit. Mm-hmm. They did that shit since Cary Grant had an opinion and motherfuckers wrote about it. Mm-hmm. You know, Gregory Peck had an opinion. They fucking wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rappers are just the new fucking celebrities of the time. So it's going to happen. But Nikki, you violated, as Mark Abbott has clearly stated, the number one rule of black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Do not put their business out in the street like that.
Right.
Don't do it because you ain't getting to a club.
Because the point is, Denise, it ain't like you're on a, like for instance, you're on a podcast and somebody decides to call you out for watching 8 Mile. It ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that, but you know, it could be along the lines of that, right, Kirk?
Why are you talking about old shit coming in 5, 4, 3, 2?
Why are you bringing the bullshit? I ain't know why you bring old shit. Old shit happened. That shit was like ancient history. That shit is so old. That shit is in hieroglyphics in the pyramid and shit, talking about how Mark and Kirk on the hieroglyphics right now. There's a nigga right now in fucking Harvard right now reading the hieroglyphics on a scroll written in sheepskin, talking about me and you and something called an 8 Mile. They still trying to fucking decipher that shit. They thought that shit was from Atlantis. They figured they found fucking scrolls of Atlantis.
They're trying to figure out how they had a movie screen in ancient Egypt with 8 Mile. That's what they're trying to do right now.
There's a nigga in Cambridge right now thinking that me and you are supposed to be two priests fighting over a mile of desert. 8 miles of land. They must have been something they were concerned about.
Deuteronomy 24.
This isn't a dragon. This is Eminem. What the fuck is this? Oh.
It's so old. That shit is pre-Bronze Age, man. Pre-Bronze Age. Bring a bullshit. Shit.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so yeah, that's our horrible people. That we need to talk about. Oh my God. So since the show can't be us giggling for the next half hour. I'll switch gears into something a little more serious, and we'll talk about our wishes for rest in peace for Michael K. Williams, because and the thing is, I think it literally happened just as we finished our our last episode 2 weeks ago. We of course didn't do an episode last week because among other issues, I was stuck working. But holy shit. So first of all, around my age, and that's always jarring. Secondly, just a prolific icon in terms of Black thespianism. Let's just put it out.
Black thespianism?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What I said. Okay. As opposed to something.
You're a Black all-star, but okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I like that. I like that. Black all-stars.
Yes. Thanks, Kirk. And it's a hard loss because if you're a fan of The Wire, then I'm sure you feel like you grew up with this cat. And then on top of that, then Boardwalk Empire, he was like, if you're an African American watching Boardwalk Empire, he's the reason you're watching Boardwalk Empire. Pretty much, because I mean, for the historical perspective, that stuff is cute, but after a while that got fairly historically inaccurate. So it wasn't exactly like you could do your term paper on Boardwalk Empire, because your professor would be like, I'm sorry, the fuck is this?
we saw this 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. And then there was Happen Leonard and a bunch of other stuff. And of course, as Kirk had in his background earlier, the work that he did in Lovecraft Country was just like explosively good. Not to mention, everybody killed it in Lovecraft Country, because I think all of those actors realized the significance of what they were doing, and they were guided by all the right people, and all the right people were involved with the show, which of course might explain why HBO canceled it. But
right.
What can I tell you? But exactly. But the man's work was just amazing. And the fact that, it goes back to something, one of the few things that the internet is right about, the fact that you don't know what people are going through.
Right.
So it's very sad. Very sad.
Yeah,
I was shocked when I heard.
Yeah,
we had just came off of a podcast.
Yeah,
when we heard about it, right? And surprised. I don't know if I'm more surprised when he passed or when Chadwick passed. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
we heard about Chadwick.
Chadwick took us by surprise.
And
I guess we didn't know he was sick, and
we didn't know he was sick. We didn't know. I mean, he didn't have a substance abuse problem. At least Michael had gone public with a substance abuse issue. Right. So it was kind of like, when you heard about it, you're still like, okay, he's dead, but Keith Richards is still walking around. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Make it make sense, Jesus. But, I think the more jarring thing with Chadwick was, of course, just no warning. Kind of like Prince because you got brothers that are basically walking around acting like they're completely okay. Mm-hmm. Just totally all right. Like, you ain't gotta go shell out the money to see Prince now, because he's gonna be around forever. He'll be doing the splits forever.
Right.
You got him at least as long as you had James Brown. So you ain't gotta rush to Madison Square Garden or, Coliseum or any place else, and wait, he's dead,
gone.
So that was what was jarring about that. Of course, Chadwick Boseman, nobody was really, it's not like Chadwick Boseman was, outside of being in a bunch of amazing movies, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in a nightclub wilding out. He wasn't like getting in beefs with Chris Brown. He wasn't mm-hmm. doing any of that dumb shit. So, you know, he was just doing really amazing work. So yeah, yeah. That caught you off guard.
Yeah.
You know, but he was, you know, Michael K. Williams was, he was, you know, he was out there about his substance abuse thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of saw it, I guess.
I knew about it, to be honest.
I had known, and I forget why I knew, but he had talked about it on.
He had talked about
actually,
it.
He had talked. I want to say he had talked about it on Tamron Hall, and I happened to catch that.
Wow.
So maybe that was part of it. Yeah. But yeah, rest in peace. Definitely a brother that's going to be missed by people who, by scores of people who knew him, did not know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have anything else you want to say.
I don't know. To me, it feels like we're walking around and you're wearing like a bulletproof vest and you get hit like this one died, ow, this one dies, ow. But then like this one's like, it just hits you in the sweet spot that you just really don't expect. Mm-hmm. You know that the hit's going to come, but for it to just catch you off guard like that and kind of knock you off balance, it's still like, damn it, no matter what you do, you still have to try to move forward.
Yeah.
Knowing like how much of an impact he had on everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess there's nothing left to discuss except the one thing that I think people want us to discuss. What we're not going to do.
Okay.
Is say this cat's name. No, Mark. It's all good. I don't even think I've said it 5 times in my life. But
that's what his mama did in the movie.
Dude, when she did that shit, I was gone. I was gone. I was like, you did not just do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm gonna let you guys go because there's mad black isms in this show in that movie.
Oh yeah. And
I'll say, yeah, black isms. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, can't guess, can't figure it out, don't understand that it's practically our responsibility as the original mission statement of this podcast in the first place to address black nerd horror sci-fi shit. You had to know we were going to discuss the latest Candyman movie. And, you know, I'm dying to know what you guys have to say because, you know, frankly, all I have to say is I feel seen. It's like, I walked out of the theater. I was happy as fuck. I was like, all right, that's thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Black Jesus.
Thank you, Black Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Black Jesus.
And because now that Jordan Peele has the creative control of this bad boy, I have to tell you, I walked out of there. I was completely satisfied in every way. And just the fact that, and not to spoil anything for anybody, but the fact that Tony Todd is still a part of the franchise,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I hate to say it, but sometimes we have this really, really bad habit of treating the founders, the pioneers, the giants whose shoulders we stand on. We have this real bad habit of being dismissive towards them. And this movie did not do that. And you know, for the sake of somebody who looks really good in underwear, you know, we kept Tony Todd in the game. I mean, obviously there are new players involved, but you know, the fact that we have basically we've paid homage and we turn the narrative into something that actually makes a little more sense if mm-hmm. you think about it than the previous Candyman mythos as it was presented. Mark,
you're... I was actually confused because there was a point where I really didn't know where this was going. Beautifully shot, wonderful actors, but I have a problem when you try to buffer something with a whole lot of layers that you don't need to. Because originally I was trying to figure out what this guy had to do, because you cannot, here's the thing. It's like with Friday the 13th, no matter how ridiculous it gets, we still have to go back to the fact that there's a source story that you cannot dismiss.
Right.
Jason has to drown and these things have to happen. You couldn't tell this without the original Candyman. You can't. So I couldn't figure out what this cat had to do with him. Like, I was like, are you trying to retell the story? And it wasn't until I saw
damn near the end,
until I saw the mother,
that it
clicked, and I was like, oh, I see where you're going with this. But then there was this mention of other Candymen.
Spoiler alert to everybody.
Spoiler alert.
But there's a mention of that. And I was like, huh? And then once we got to the, when it all came out, like kind of falling like a, that was like, okay, I see what you did there. I mean, I wasn't disappointed with the film. I thought it was really well done. And I like, because I also was trying to figure out, since I know that CG is gone in Chicago, how that was going to play into, because I'm like, well, they ain't there no more. So how y'all gonna, and I was like, oh.
Actually, and that was downtown, that was the introduction. Brooklyn. Yeah.
Downtown Brooklyn.
Okay. Los Angeles. Yeah.
I see what you did there. Yeah. I see what you did there. So
real quick, Mark, what do you think? Because there's that point where, and I maybe it was something that probably got left on the cutting room floor. And like I said, and I'm saying spoilers, guys. Real quick, in the beginning when they're talking with her brother and his new boyfriend, and the boyfriend mentions, you know, they talk about gentrification, how people coming in and moving in, and he said, "You mean like you guys?"
I actually,
which was a clapback, which was an interesting clapback, and I guess kind of like that was the introduction, because I'll say, all right, to your point about the other, spoilers again, the other iterations of Candyman. Now, and I wonder if it plays into, no offense, when white folks find out about a thing like Zen or Buddhism. But they only find out the surface area. They don't go deep. And the prior iterations of Candyman, the prior movies, the main characters have all been white protagonists, right? Who weren't really trying to get that deep into it in the first place, except for Helen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And nobody's trying to really talk to her like that anyway. So to have it emerge into this other thing, because now we're dealing with people of the community, and a kind of like a journey of discovery for him, and why he's so drawn to this, the macabre and the scary, don't you think?
Yeah,
that was kind of like the journey for him.
It's because, but well, the thing is that because of who he is, mm-hmm. and that this direct impact that Candyman has on him.
Right.
I mean, I completely agree, because I know after watching it, I kept thinking to myself, and I got my answer, and you kind of proved it here. I'm like, so nobody's spoken about this cat in all this time until this dude did the art project. Then all of a sudden, but then to your point, Kurt, he kind of got buried with the community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, young girl comes to the thing, didn't look at the art piece, didn't look in deep within what it was about, just right. saw this thing. It was like, oh, this is cute. We should go and try this.
Right.
In a bathroom somewhere and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean that's kind of the thing. It's like
that was gory as fuck.
We don't, and it plays into that's the powerful thing about gentrification, because people who gentrify a neighborhood don't learn about the history of the neighborhood. They're not interested in the history of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They're really
and to jump on your point, and that doesn't even just mean white folks.
That's why I said people. Right. Anybody that gentrifies a neighborhood,
it's like an economic thing.
It's not interested in the
history
of what has happened there. Mm-hmm. So to them, it's like the reason why I'm here is because of whatever happened over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we really don't want to talk about that, because I mean, why do we? What does that have to do with us? You know, mm-hmm. we got the baristas on the corner. We got the new, Starbucks. You know, whatever. Yeah. And we're good. And the slapback is interesting. What makes that slapback very interesting is that without thinking about it, when African Americans do have an opportunity, because she had money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To move into that structure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's done without the thought process of the history of what has happened. Because again, she moved in and she's like, I got this beautiful apartment and it's got this beautiful view and everything. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here talking about the displacement of the people down the street without even thinking that we're part of the displacement that happened. And mm-hmm. we're reaping the benefits of the gentrification. The only people that don't reap the benefits of that are the people who are still there. I mean, well, they do, but the price you have to pay for it is now
exorbitant.
You're still running an old laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because that's the only thing that's going to keep you tied to that environment. So horror is steeped in social commentary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this was very much that. And I thought it was just nicely done. I thought it wasn't that he was just going around picking one group of people to slaughter.
Yeah.
But it's just, to me, it was just sort of like, I wonder, now I'm curious, if we're going to go back and we're going to see the others and see, because she has just opened a book that we can go through time periods now.
Yeah.
We can go through the 50s, the 60s, the 70s.
Kind of like how Fear Street did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can go back, because now if there are this many tied to the original Candyman, it will be interesting to see if they decide to delve into that, or if this is just now. I'm gonna throw this question to Denise.
Okay.
You think that's why his mother wanted to talk to him so bad?
Because
his mother had been calling him desperately, and he would not call, he would not meet with her, he wouldn't talk to her. Do you think
I do. I think that, like, normally you talk to your loved ones once a day or at least once a week. And if suddenly he's totally avoiding her, his girlfriend is seeing her, but he's not seeing his own mother, then I think she knows that something is wrong. And she's got to try to nip it in the bud, if at all possible. She needs to know if he knows what's really going on or not. For him to be absent like that, I think she knew that there was a problem. I think she knew that something was wrong. That's what I think.
Do you think she was fearful of his connection?
Oh, I think she's definitely fearful of her connection, of his connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
We don't do that here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she tried so hard to bury it as much as she could, but she knew that eventually it was going to come out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think for sure. Yeah. Overall, I loved this movie. I want to see it again because I expected just another horror movie, kind of like Michael Myers. What's going to happen? Right. Who's he going to kill? How's he going to kill him? But knowing that Jordan Peele's involved, there might be some layers. I don't know. We'll see if he can church it up. And to sit here and watch his whole experience, to see this man discover who he is, and to see still all the elements of horror and the way they did the elements of horror without spoilers, it was amazing. Like some of those shots, like with the
with him at the door when he was at his mom's door, and the light coming in the hallway, and then the other half of the screen was just black.
Yes, totally black. Oh, or like when he leaves the critic's house and then they pull back
without saying
anything. I was like, what am I watching right now? Yeah, it was amazing. That, absolutely amazing. Amazing. And
that was exhilarating.
Yeah.
That was exhilarating, actually. Yeah. That was to see like somebody use mise-en-scene and color.
Yeah.
And tone in such a manner to help with not just so much as telling the story, but with the shock.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional impact of characters at that point, man. Mm-hmm.
And some's in your face and some is far, far away. Yes. I like how from like the very, very beginning, when you see like the universal symbol go across, and I'm like, this isn't right. Is the projectionist checking this out? And then to realize it's entirely intentional for you to be off kilter from the very moment it starts. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, this is the kind of scary movie I want to see. And you have all the layers that go with it, bro. Bruh. Love this movie. Love this
bro,
movie.
Bro, with that hook, do you even lift, bro?
And I like how you didn't necessarily have to see the original one to follow what's going on. True. I really, really appreciated that.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they also, I have to, at least I felt like they abandoned certain parts of the original, you know, just in terms of Candyman being trying to retrieve his lost love, that got put in the laundry basket. That was
They barely touched on it when they talked about his character,
right?
It almost made Helen look like just some crazy person that was obsessed with him. It was more like the other way around.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They did kind of lose that element.
Which actually, I actually like, because it ties her story into the main character story.
Yeah.
Right. Because now it now becomes Candyman ain't search you out. You search him out because you're searching for the truth in something.
Yeah. And the fact that the mom spoke up for her, the mom knew her.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the fact that mom filled in that little piece about it, that made it. I think that helped more with the story, 2021 story. The 2020, the early one, Candyman. Yeah. Though I did enjoy it. There was a thing about, a black vengeful ghost still looking for that white woman.
Right.
He fell in love with that guy. The unrequited love. The unrequited love that got his hand ripped off. And, you know, there's a black woman in me like this. Nigga, you know she going, why are you going to go
back? I was like,
you went there the first time and you lost a whole bunch of shit. Now you're going to go back again? That was a black woman in me.
You doing this again? Yeah.
Yeah. The black man in me, though, was like, yo, She was that chick from Dune. She was Princess Irulan from Dune, who was bad. She looked like that chick from Dune, the Princess Irulan from Dune. She was fine.
And that's why you got the bees.
And that's why you got bees.
That's
why
you got
bees. That's why you got bees. That's why you got bees.
Mark, you look like you want to dunk me in a barrel.
Mark's not co-signing that. Well, thank you guys. We are actually out of time.
You look like my dad. Mark looked like my dad. Like
a little bit abrupt. Yeah, he does look like your dad. We are going to stop on an abrupt note here.
Look, Steve.
Because, you know,
say it.
We're out of time, but thank you, everybody. That's hysterical. Seriously, this is a great little say talk.
Say it.
I am not saying it. Anyway, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Denise. Thank you. Fun show as thank always. You. And folks, we'll be back next week with more beef, wine, and of course,
shenanigans.
Candyman, Candyman.
Don't say it!